I'll be the wizard.
Yeah.
I'll be the tank. Although I've never played a fighter before.
I think he'll
before they start.
He'll hopefully hook us up with the differences.
Yep.
So we need a name, and then do we fill out anything on this, or?
Most of the heavy lifting's been done, so if you can come up with a cool name and a concept for your character, where he's been, what he's done, that's probably enough. If there's, and well, if you have any questions about the character, of course, I will be happy to explain.
As a wizard, you channel arcane forces to exert control that hinders foes or blasts them into oblivion. Magic is your art form.
I think when you say oblivion, you're supposed to say oblivion.
Oblivion.
I think that. All right.
That's been
my
experience.
Write my name on?
That's been my experience, yeah. He's got some pens over there.
Are we recording now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some pencils for you.
As a dwarf, you said yours said as a mage?
Yeah.
See, mine's
well,
going
no,
in.
Now
it's your character name.
As a human, you are decisive and rash.
Oh, okay.
You are nothing if not adaptable.
As a dwarf, you share many qualities with the earth and rock of your mountain home. You are strong, hardy, and dependable. So, like, if you need a ride to the airport...
This dwarf has got my back.
I will
no
always...
No matter what time of day.
Yeah. We're taking the long route.
What season?
Through the mountain.
So you're playing the human wizard. You've got the half-elf.
Right.
You've got the dwarf. So...
Do we need a first and a last name?
It's up to you.
Up to you.
Maybe... Because it's like if you just put one name on there, it's like you're all mysterious.
Like yes. Cher.
Okay. Or Sting, you know?
All right.
So, the idea behind 4th edition, like previous editions of D&D, is you guys are a group of adventurers who have been working together. Professionally. You battle monsters, you acquire treasure, you gain levels. You basically complete quests, sometimes personal quests, sometimes group quests. When you kill monsters and complete missions, you get experience points, and that's what gets you up in levels. And the longer you play, sort of the greater the rewards. I'm running 2 4th edition campaigns right now with 2 different groups, and they're about level 6 now. And we just started playing, I guess, maybe 6 months ago. So they've climbed pretty quickly. You guys, since your first level, you probably haven't been together as a group very long.
We just formed the corporation.
Yes, essentially. You haven't thought of your adventuring band name yet.
It seems like that's important. It seems like we should have a band name.
A group name?
Absolutely. Well, it's like, you know how it is. It's like when we put out the public ads where it's like you tear the number off the bottom. Like we need to sort of say what our general, it's like hedges, you know, but our line is really more sort of null based, you know? I still need a name. Did you choose a name?
Yeah.
What is your name?
I'm Jim Dark Magic.
Yo, come. Jim.
Dark
no.
Magic.
What? What? Why don't you just name yourself Chet Awesome Laser?
Okay.
No.
No, that's good.
Yeah,
no, that's good, too.
I'm from the New Hampshire Dark Magic. It's a long line.
Eastern.
It's a very renowned family of magicians.
What was your name again? Jim?
Jim Dark Magic.
I gotcha.
Yes, listen, I'm
Juicy, you've never heard of the Dark Magic
family? No. But I'm...
Well,
we're kind of a big deal.
In the dark magics.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I'm gonna need to make a name that is twice as ridiculous just to make up for Jim. There's going to have to be like 5 X's.
There's nothing wrong with Jim.
Jim is good. Is it short for something?
Jimmy.
James.
James Dark Magic the 3rd.
Oh, jeez. Okay, so half-elf cleric.
Would you rather be Jim Fell Magic? Would that be better?
I think Fell is a step up.
All right, fine. We'll change it to
No,
magic.
No, I like it now. You have to hold
no,
family.
No, it's
got to
be dark magic.
What?
It's got. You got to stick with dark magic
okay.
Now.
No, stick to your guns or wands or whatever.
You can call me James.
you're playing the cleric, right?
Yes, I am.
And who's your deity? Who do you revere?
He doesn't believe in God.
Can you have an atheist cleric? I guess not.
Not really. You do have to sort of choose one patron. I'm not sure if it's on your character sheet.
Well, I like to...
There are many, many fine choices to choose from.
I like to shop around when it comes to gods.
You could worship Avandra. She is the god of change, freedom, trade, travel, adventure. You could worship Bahamut. You know Bahamut.
Yeah. I think we all do.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy fans.
Yes, the dragon god of justice and protection. There's Coralon, who is traditionally envisioned as an elven deity, but anybody can worship him. He's the god of the arts and arcane magic.
Hmm.
God Arathis, she is the goddess of civilization and law.
Does each god confer different powers to him?
In a manner of speaking, yes. It sort of adds a flavor to your cleric, both mechanically as well as...
What's the difference between a cleric and a paladin?
They're both divine characters, but the paladin is a slightly more military bent, more into getting in your grill with a sword and beating you senseless, sort of taste my justice kind of thing.
Okay.
As opposed to the cleric, who is sort of a party leader type, who coordinates battles, buffs and heals his buddies, and also steps up when he needs to. But he's not necessarily the frontline guy drawing all the aggro.
So he's sort of somewhere between a priest and a paladin?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. You could worship Melora. She is the god of the wilderness and the sea.
No.
Kord is the storm god and the lord of battle.
Yeah. I like that.
Kord seems like a good one, but let's move it back to Evandra.
All right.
What were those spheres again?
She is the god of change, delights in freedom, trade, travel, adventure, and the frontier.
See, that sounds like exactly
her commandments
sort of
are,
yeah.
Luck favors the bold.
Mm-hmm.
Take your fate into your own hands, and she will smile upon you. Strike back at those who would rob you of your freedom and urge others to fight for their freedom. And change is inevitable, but it takes the work of the faithful to ensure that change is for the better.
Yeah, it's the trade thing that I like, because mm-hmm. I'm sort of hooked on the idea of the company. And yeah. So he's sort of like the CEO.
Yeah.
But it's like there's a divine element to it.
So her symbol are these sort of three wavy lines.
Okay.
What's your name, Scott?
Maynard Shorty Pants.
are you being in front of me?
No.
I'm short.
I chose Binwin Bronzebottom. Sorry, I wanted an alliteration.
Dwarfy. Listen, if you don't, you lose abilities if you are a dwarf and don't alliterate.
Yeah. Well, Binwin is a D&D name I've used for a long time. And then I chose Bronzebottom because they always have like compound words, but
yeah.
I wanted to put butt in there somewhere.
I like it.
but I wanted to have an old school butt, so I went with bottom.
Bronzebottom.
Yeah. It's a sturdy bottom.
He chuckled at it. I don't know if he likes it or dislikes it.
I'm sold.
That's the type of name that might end up in, say, a D&D product one.
Pinwin Bronzebottom.
Dark Magic won't?
Maybe write that down.
I should have gone with Spell Magic.
No, you got a call from Blizzard. Fell is our word for dark magic. Because it's fallen.
It fell. Fell dark.
Fell dark magic. Bad.
Jim Dark fell.
No,
Jim Dark fell bad.
No, your
ominous.
First name should be Fell. Fell dark Jim. I mean, I would turn it around.
Yeah. Or fell dark evil.
How about ominous dark fell bad?
You can call me Omni.
Omnimix.
So the D&D world is a very dark place. It's sort of like... think of it as points of light in the darkness, that there are these places of safety and sanctuary and all of these dark places in between that the brave wander. And some of them even come back from these places. You are of a mind to go into these dark places either to explore or to complete the tasks that the common folk would never think to do. Some would call you foolish, some would call you daring.
Left favors the bold, that's what my god always says.
What's your name?
Omen Dran.
Omen Dran?
But it's like O-M-I-N, not like the word.
Hmm.
And is Dran the last name?
Dran.
Yeah, it's short for something. I haven't figured out what it's short for yet.
Okay.
Don't worry, that's what adventuring's all about.
Right.
Da-dun-dun.
Yes, you don't have to solve
Maybe we'll find a phone book in the crypt.
You don't have to solve
the
character right off the bat. You want your character to sort of grow and develop, and you'll start to build relationships.
Right, and you'll start to add consonants and vowels.
Yes,
apostrophes.
Yeah.
I've never done this. Do we have to speak in accents?
No. Every group is really different as far as what is accepted on that.
Some players prefer to speak of their characters in the third person, you know.
I tell him.
Jim does this, Jim does that.
Okay.
Or my character does this, my character does that. Okay. Others prefer to get into the first person and say, I do this, I do that.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, it's like Yaz. Yeah. Well, we play with a guy in, we always refer to ourselves as our characters, say, in WoW,
mm-hmm.
but he always tells us about his character, like, in the third person, even though he's playing as the character.
Got
so, I mean, everybody has a different relationship to their guy.
Right.
I feel pretty close to Jim.
Already?
I think I am Jim already, yeah.
I think you need to make mention of the dark magic plan.
Hey.
And like to always trying to get advantage based on your lineage. I don't know, maybe you haven't heard
that. That might be a disadvantage to us, by the way. If we walk into town, they might know what kind of magic you're using.
Dark magic?
Yeah.
But maybe it's not dark magic. Maybe that's there to throw people off.
I see.
Trail.
It's just your name.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I just want you guys to know, I was a DM once in my life,
yeah.
And my adventure was that the adventurers were brought into a town to stop a wizard that was attacking it, and it turned out that the king had hired the wizard to attack the town so he could raise taxes. So if a wizard's attacking a town, we know it could be...
You've been there before.
Yes.
Yeah, I've done it. All right, I think we're ready to roll.
Excellent.
So it's fresh. The articles of incorporation have just been signed. We put it together... We're ready to.
What's our company name?
We need a company name, don't we?
Well, we should put your god's name in it. What's your god's name again?
Avandra.
Well, Avandra is good, but this is. I mean, we have her endorsement, but I think that this is a more mercenary endeavor. So it has to be something that communicates some of our services, but also is inviting to the person who is, you know, looking at the advertisement.
Kill and Gold Incorporated.
Let's see. That's brazen.
Oh.
And I'm looking for something that has a little more...
Because I thought we like to kill, and we like gold. And we are incorporated.
Well, we are incorporated. I don't mind incorporated.
Do our characters need motivation?
The adventure may provide some of that, once you sort of realize what you're up to.
Okay.
You may have some other motivations on the side that...
I've got some motivations.
...that you know about.
You guys don't know about
yes.
yet.
As a wizard, you're...
You're mysterious.
You're an arcane character, and uh-huh. your powers come from the arcane power source, essentially, which is a little bit different flavored from the cleric's divine power or the fighter's martial power. Your powers feel very magical, and wizards generally like to acquire new staffs and wands and orbs because they can use basically magical stuff. They also like to collect rituals. Eventually, when you're high enough level, you'll be able to cast rituals that let you do all kinds of crazy things above and beyond what you can do in combat.
Okay.
Your life is measured in your hit points. And there's a
blank. Is that on my sheet here somewhere?
Yeah, right there.
Oh, okay, 23.
When you run out of those, you fall down.
Okay. Do I die?
Not
right away.
Okay.
What happens when you fall down, when you drop to zero or... negative numbers, essentially, is you make rolls to see whether or not you can get back up or whether or not you get worse.
Okay.
Or whether or not you sort of stay status quo. Once you fall down, you sort of have to rely on your friends to come to your aid, and they can do things to heal you. You've got a cleric with you. That's a great asset. So he can bring you back up.
I can bring you back up, but you're not. If you die, we're in trouble.
Yeah, if you die, yeah. They're going to be...
So imagine that you have an area of hit points below your actual hit points that is like unconsciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to catch you in that phase.
But that number of hit points is sort of ambiguous?
Nope. It's
it's set.
It is set.
Oh, okay.
And let me take you down to the line underneath your hit points there, which says bloodied. That's half of your hit points. When you are bloodied, when you're down to half or fewer...
I've had the crap kicked out of me.
Yeah, you're looking a little messed up. Usually that doesn't mean anything as far as your combat capabilities, although there are some monsters in the game that are particularly good or have powers that trigger against bloodied enemies. And so you're always advised to be cautious.
And also they may have new abilities. I read about this. They might have new abilities. When we get them down to half,
yes.
They might have new shit that they do.
Right. For instance, there are monsters in the game that become more potent once they're bloodied. They sort of fly into a rage.
That makes sense.
Orcs are in that category. And once you start getting down low on hit points, you can boost yourself back up. Every character has some ability to heal himself or herself.
I have healing surge.
That's it. You have a certain number of those per day. Right. Every time you spend one of those during an adventure, that total drops down for the day. And
is that like today, or will our adventure take multiple days?
Your adventure could take many days, but your healing surges will go up to full at the start of each new day.
Each new real life day?
No.
Each new game day.
Each new game day. If he says you sleep, then
you
know that's a fact.
Oh, okay.
If you decide that you've been going through the dungeon long enough and you've had the crap kicked out of you and you want to go back to town to rest and recuperate, then it'll be basically a new day when you resume.
I'll get five more healing surges.
All your healing surges will go back up to full.
Okay.
When you spend a healing surge, you get a number of points back per day. So you see you've got two things there, healing surge and then healing surges per day, I think it says, or surge
per
day.
Yeah, healing surge is 5, surges per day is 7.
Okay. So you've actually got 7 healing surges. Okay. Whenever you spend one, you get 5 hit points back.
Oh, I see.
You get a quarter of your hit points back.
I see.
Yeah.
During any given encounter, a character can spend what's called his second wind. That's the sort of game term. When you use your second wind, you're spending a healing surge, basically. You're getting back your 5 hit points or your...
And you can do that once per encounter?
Once per encounter.
So that's 8 battle.
Yeah. Okay. In every battle, you can use a healing surge basically once. But you've got a cleric, you don't have the paladin, but there are other classes that can give you more healing surges. And that's sort of...
You can heal?
Yeah. I can heal and I can kick off your healing surges.
Exactly. Okay. So let's say you've already spent your healing surge in an encounter that's particularly brutal and bloody. The cleric can say, I am going to use my healing word power to let you spend another one of your healing surges, and you get back another 5 hit points.
Okay.
I'm no mathematician. I have 31 hit points.
Yes.
I have 7 hit points per healing surge and 12 surges per day. Mm-hmm.
It's a tough character.
I've beaten your system, sir, because I'm going to spend all 12 surges and bump. That's 84 hit points. And that's more than I started with. System
beat.
You can
never go over your max.
Oh, son of a gun.
Oh, he took your shit apart.
Fuck.
All right.
Thought so, I had it beat.
All right. Well, I'm ready. I've formed the...
What's
the articles, Acquisitions Incorporated. I feel like it's very tasteful. It's going to appeal to, you know, multiple levels of society as long as they know what the word acquisitions means.
It's abbreviated. Okay. So, Inc.
So where
yes, it could be.
We meet an inn.
Or maybe at our corporate headquarters,
well,
which is the inn.
The adventure is sort of taking place around a small village, a fortified village called Winterhaven. This place is one of those very, very faint points of light in the darkness I was talking about. And they've been having a lot of problems of late.
So it's an opportunity to build some some PR, basically.
Absolutely. You guys want a reputation? Here's a great place to build one. And Winterhaven is remote enough, but it's on a trade road, so it does have some stuff going on there. But there's a lot of trouble around there, and they've been having it for a long time. And actually, we're going to sort of jump in the middle of things here and say that you've already had a few encounters with some of the local wildlife.
Okay, so when you say wildlife, do you mean animals or do you mean horrible monsters?
I mean actually goblins and kobolds and other monsters. And you've been basically beating them back and cleaning out the surrounding territory from these horrid little raiders.
Incursions.
Exactly. And trying to get to the root of the problem of why they're suddenly all stirred up and getting in the Winterhaven people's face.
Exactly. So are we here under a contract from the sort of nominal leadership, or...?
You had heard from a trader. You had been elsewhere.
Yeah.
And a trader coming from Winterhaven said, oh, there's so much wrong up there. We got to stop. We're not going back there anymore. And you're like, oh, we can solve this problem. I'm sure there's money in it.
Yeah.
And so you went up and you started to kick the crap out of a bunch of kobolds and goblins on behalf of the local mayor.
There we go.
There. And he's sort of taking a shining to you at this point. And you've learned, while kicking the crap out of goblins and kobolds, that they seem to be taking their orders from a figure named Iron Tooth.
Okay, so
been,
we know that he has at least one tooth.
Yes,
and that it is made of iron.
Probably.
I'm going to write this down.
Taking notes.
Yeah. Okay. Iron. Okay. Tooth. Okay. I got you. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm good.
And you.
Can I roll to kill Iron Tooth?
What's that?
Can I roll to see if I kill Iron Tooth?
You actually haven't had any luck finding him.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, we could get this over with real quick.
Makes sense. I don't know. I'm Jim Dark Magic.
Yeah. Maybe you're not familiar with how the Dark Magics do things.
Seriously,
we don't fuck around.
Dark Magic.
Okay, let's do it.
But in your search of the surrounding area, like a few days ago, you saw something that hadn't been mentioned to you when you were in Winterhaven. You were sort of surprised by this. And that is, as you're going through the hill and you reach the top of a hill, you saw the ruins of an old keep up there, and you're like, what's this doing here? Why don't the people in town actually talk about this place?
Does it look like the same construction?
It looks like a very, very old, human-constructed keep that literally fell to the ground. It's really nothing more than a ruin with a few walls sticking up here and there.
Fell like fell over or fell like evil?
It looks like it was attacked sometime in the past. And you're like, okay, well, let's... We could check this out now, or we could go back to town and see if they know anything about this place. And when you decide...
I want to check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going in.
Okay.
Oh, we're not going to... You don't think it might be...
I mean, it's possible that a creature like Irontooth, and you suspect at this point that he might be a particularly tough goblin, maybe a hobgoblin, which is like a super bigger goblin.
It's like two goblins standing on top of each other.
You ever heard of a rat king, where the rats are so packed together their tails actually grow together? That's what a hobgoblin is. It's kind of like a rat king.
Well, is that a real thing?
You never heard of a rat king?
No.
Yeah, it's in New York all the time. The rat population in urban cities are so great that they have nowhere to go, and they actually grow, they fuse together.
What?
They can't separate. It's called a rat king.
One giant rat?
Well, yeah, they're in
the most terrifying thing. That's not true.
That's true.
That's like alligators in the sewer.
No, that's true. Rat king is true, yes.
Have you ever heard of an alligator king? It's like when a bunch of alligators...
Listen, you can mock the rat king.
Someday he'll come for you. Yeah. You know, not you.
No, my thinking is that, yeah, if we go back and tell them, they'll be like, oh, yeah, that's the keep. And then if we just go and get it and there's riches, then maybe we just don't go back to Winterhaven. That's my perspective.
That's true.
On the situation.
Well, I mean, if from a PR perspective.
Jim likes that idea. Yeah. If here's there's... the thing, though. I'm not speaking about Jim in the third person. I am Jim speaking about myself in the third person.
So Jim approves.
Yeah, Jim approves.
All right, well, let's move forward.
All right. You're able to explore the ruins thoroughly, and you sort of get a sense that there have been creatures poking around there recently, but the keep itself is in a complete shambles. It kind of looks like this, actually.
Oh, so this is it's substantial.
Wow.
It's in a fortified area. It's high on a hill.
It is. And you're like, why weren't we told about this?
Huh.
What possible reason could the town of Winterhaven have to shield you, Acquisitions Incorporated,
exactly,
from something so obvious? But there it is, this stark white-walled structure in the night. And you start to poke around the walls, and you discover that there is a shack tucked among these walls inside. It's basically the only
like a basketball player
structure
or?
Oh. Inside the compound,
yeah,
that seems to have survived everything else. Any other wooden structure, like the what might have been stables or whatever, have basically been reduced to flinders. But when you poke around in there,
I love this guy.
You see a staircase going down into the hill.
Hmm.
And you see there are some bones on it.
Like, Jim wants to go in.
Jim says,
"Is that Jim saying that, or are you telling?"
No, like Jim speaks about himself in the third person.
I gotcha.
He has a very high opinion of himself.
Well,
the air is kind of cool, and you sort of hear this owl hooting off in the distance.
Jim is terrified of owls.
I understand.
I wrote that down.
Yeah. An owl killed Jim's grandmother, actually.
Is this your character development?
Yeah, and so Jim really wants to go downstairs right now.
To escape the owl.
Gina Dark Magic?
Yeah.
It is said that this forest has dire owls.
Dire fell owls.
Like 40 feet wingspan. All right. Well,
I notice how you put me in front since I'm the fighter.
I did move your figurine in front of my figurine close to the stairs, and I see that Jim Dark Magic.
Jim's taking through. He's keeping an eye on the back door
in case of owls.
In case of owls.
Those things, those fuckers get caught in your hair.
Yeah.
That's trouble.
Did you know that owls actually eat your teeth? They'll eat the teeth right out of your head.
Oh. And then fly away.
And fly away. They don't even care.
Really?
It's true.
God damn ivory merchant.
So this is probably a good time to tell you that you all have cool things that you can do in combat. You know, not that you're going to get into a fight or anything.
Right away. Is this the save point? Like, is there a glowing circle?
Afraid not. But at the bottom of your sheet there, you can see your powers kind of start. And some of them are flagged green, some of them red, and some of them black. Green powers are your at-will powers. You can use them as often as you want on your turn... You basically have three actions. Attack, move, and then what's called a minor action, which is good for like drawing weapons or drawing a potion or doing all kinds of little incidental things. Most of your powers basically happen as attacks. And your green power, you never run out of those. Your red powers are encounter powers, which means once you use that power in a given encounter, you can't use it again until the next encounter.
Right.
And then the black one is your daily. And once you use that, it's gone for the day. And you won't get that back until you rest.
A.K.A. save it for Irontooth.
Okay.
And, of course, as once we get into our first combat... And yeah, you got more on the backside there.
Oh, cool. So on this daily power, if it says miss, you don't expend the use. So if I miss, I didn't technically use it.
Exactly.
That's handy.
Yes. The daily powers are pretty butch. Not only do they do a significant significantly more damage than the other types of powers, but they usually have some effect even if you miss. So you don't feel bad for having kind of shot your wad and gotten nothing out of it.
Awesome.
Now, if we had not used these pre-rolled characters, would we have chosen all these abilities ourselves?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And the player's handbook, every class has basically almost like a chapter's worth of space.
Like look.
Just with...
Oh, I see.
Pardon my ignorance, but this isn't even out yet, is it?
No.
Oh.
Comes out in June, so...
So, yeah, she would choose your outwills, cool. And then as you level up, you choose new powers.
Yes.
I see, okay.
Or swap out old ones.
That's the thing, is at some point you sort of, with 4th edition, you sort of reach your maximum limit of attack powers, and at particularly high levels, you start to replace your outmoded low-level powers with better ones. So you never have so many choices that you are completely overwhelmed and you don't know what to do in a given encounter. So you're...
This reads very much like a tactics game.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The powers being attack powers, of course, and being the fact that you're sort of playing on a minis battle grid, there is a lot of tactics involved, as you will soon see. You descend the staircase.
What? Are we going to fight? What?
Okay. You descend the staircase and you see that the bones on the stairs appear to be like small animal bones. And
do any of them have iron teeth? I'm just saying someone should check.
Well, then what I'd like you to do is to make a perception skill check. On the back end, on the back side of your sheet are your skills. And they're in a table. And perception should be listed in there somewhere. Whenever you're asked to make an attack roll or a skill check or anything like that, you're always sort of rolling the same die. And it's the 20-sided die.
Guys, this is my first time rolling...
For real?
For real.
I have to tell you, I find it hard to believe that you've never played Dungeons & Dragons.
It's important to roll well. Nerd. It's important to roll well or you will curse the dice forever.
This is pivotal.
This is my first roll.
I'm here for it. For real, like not playing.
I'm like breaking my dice hymen.
Get it on film, dude.
That's gross. Roll the dice.
What? Why did you ruin it with that? I was asking to take a picture and everything.
The picture's not going to show my hymen.
All right.
In D&D?
What? Is that saying hymen?
High rolls are always good.
Okay. So I'm actually rolling because I said I wanted to look and see if they have iron teeth.
Exactly.
Yeah. Correct.
Okay.
So you roll,
and my perception is... +1.
Yeah, see, that's a good DM right there. You were making a joke, but he's turned that retarded-ass joke.
Well, it was a pretty good joke.
It was pandering to the audience.
So whatever I roll, I'm going to add +1 to it.
Yeah, exactly.
You just figured it out.
Oh, my God. Your first roll was a 20.
That's cool.
I mean, modified, but still.
Yeah, it's 19.
19 +1, though, is 20.
But that's actually an incredible roll.
So I am able to what? Look and see?
You're able to take a look at the bones, and actually you see something. You don't see an iron tooth, but you see something else. You're pretty sure that these scattered bones were kind of left here deliberately, and that they have been gnawed on. That something lives down here, and it basically feeds on animals, and it scatters their bones on these stairs. And you also notice, as you're going down the stairs, that you're actually stepping on a few of them, and they're making soft crunching noises.
Oh, I see. Mm. So they're an it's like an alarm system. It's like the old school alarm system. I gotcha. Hey, do you mind if I roll my dungeoneering and
absolutely.
Make a guess at what would set up a trap like this?
You sure can.
What are you doing?
Wow.
He's got the dungeoneering skill. He's going to make a skill check and add his bonus there.
15.
What is dungeon? I don't know. I've never even heard dungeoneering.
The dungeoneering. Like the dungeoneering skill is. Yeah. Oh. It's a great skill to have.
It means it's not his first time to the rodeo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like, for instance, if you want to sort of study a underground chamber to see if there's a secret door there,
been
experience.
In dungeons before. He knows about dungeons.
Or who the dungeon was, who built the dungeon, that kind of information. That's what dungeoneering is
and
all
about. And you rolled a 12?
I did, +3, which is 15.
You know, is this floor safe kind of thing? That's a dungeoneering.
Okay. Right. Or what kinds of creatures that live in underground holes might
exactly.
are crafty enough to do shit like this?
So did you succeed?
We'll find out.
We don't know.
Goblins.
Okay.
Definitely goblins.
Yeah, okay. I had a sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so...
I would have not even known to do that.
No, I would have...
I'm so screwed.
You saw the... Okay, so we saw the bones.
You saw the bones.
I saw the bones, and I was like...
You investigated them.
I investigated them, and I was able to determine that there's some sort of alarm.
Yeah.
They crack when I walk
in. Yeah, and then he knew... And meanwhile, I'm up front doing nothing.
You're eating a cheeseburger.
I'm something.
A Fellburger.
A Fellburger.
You are like...
You're doing what fighters do. You're waiting for
I'm waiting for something to attack.
Yeah.
Should I swing aimlessly, just in case? Maybe there's something in front of me.
Yeah.
And you're like,
So you guys can actually
bones curious. Like this before. Yeah. This is these exactly. are a goblin ate these bones.
I want a Shatner roll.
At the bottom of the stairs, you see that these the stairs sort of spill into a chamber supported by four pillars, which is what I've drawn there, these four circles being the pillars that support the ceiling. And the ceiling is about 10 feet high. The walls seem to be of loose, mortared stone, and the place is dusty and clearly abandoned and has been exposed to the elements for years. What would you like to do?
Binwin's time to shine!
Would you like to make a perception check since you're in the lead?
Yes, I would like to make a perception check. Thanks for leading me into that.
So our position here is important?
It kind of is. It sort of is a cue to me to let me know who's in the lead, who's going to be the first to...
do whatever.
Yeah, I mean, there are situations where... I mean, obviously in the case of a dire owl situation, I mean, it may be that we want me to actually take up the back so that you don't... Because, I mean... The clothy concept exists here, too.
Oh, okay. So I'm wearing cloth. I'm a wuss.
Yeah. Like, for instance, let's say that the stairs were a trap and they collapsed into a slide that then deposited you into a pit of acid at the bottom.
Into a waiting mouth of a huge
creature. I would know, based on your marching order, that the
fighter
was the first one to...
Dang.
To fall in. Fortunately,
that's not
true. Well, I rolled an 11 and with my perception modifier, that is a 13.
Okay. This room seems to be empty, devoid of occupants.
You making this up as you go?
I have an adventure with information here. That sort of gives me a clue of what lies ahead.
It's general info, but he probably didn't have specifics about bones and teeth. And
okay.
Well, listen... It's clearly safe to move forward, so
yeah,
I'm ready to enter in.
Okay,
so
move your figure where you like.
I'm gonna move.
Okay, stop.
Okay.
So how far can he move? Like, was that his turn? I don't understand what's happening.
Well, since we're not in combat yet,
so you can just sort of move wherever you want.
Yeah, and then he'll stop me when something happens.
So when you get there, you guys on the stairs see him moving cautiously through the room, and then he disappears through the floor.
You see
this big billowing pile of dust and what appears to be a stone-colored piece of canvas sort of collapse all around him as he plunges into a pit.
Nice job, Binwin.
It's Binwin.
But he's like wrapped up in
Binwin! Binwin! Jim doesn't like this.
And the dwarf makes some sort of noise like,
oh!
Ah! As pieces of timber and other things fall on top of his head.
But it's a hard sound, not a soft, wet sound like it's full of spikes.
Well, he's in armor, so it's this sort of clattering, crunching noise.
I found a trap!
It's safe now.
You never liked Binwin.
My fall into holes skill is...
All right.
Serve me well.
You take some damage falling into this 10-foot deep pit.
Oh!
And you basically land prone on your face.
Oh, yikes.
I start to consider the position's open ad I'm going to post.
You take 5 points of damage.
Mm. What's 31 minus 5? 20.
You have to do math?
26.
Thank you.
Some math.
You did not tell me there would be math.
It's a very reasonable amount of math.
And then almost immediately you feel small creatures crawling all over your body. And they sort of make sounds like...
Rat King!
I use my dungeon.
Rat King!
I think they're rats. Okay.
And you guys hear it too, as you just sort of stare agog in the middle of the room and see this dust cloud where the dwarf used to be. Now we are in a combat situation. I would like everyone to roll initiative. This is how we determine who goes first. And as always, it's a d20 roll.
So do I have...
You do.
You have an initiative bonus on the front side of your sheet.
Six.
There you go.
So I had plus 6 to whatever I rolled.
Mm-hmm. You do. How did Jim do?
Jim rolled a 15 with his modifier.
All right. And how did Omen do?
We're looking at an 18. That's a natural 18.
And Binwin?
Binwin did 11.
Okay.
Don't you have a modifier to your 18, though?
I don't.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Binwin, you realize as you sort of look up and adjust your helmet so it's facing forward again... that the bottom of that rats, normal-sized rats, but a swarm of them, have basically seeped into the bottom of the pit through cracks in the walls after you landed in here. And they are biting and gnawing on you feverishly. The first to go, however, is Omen.
Okay, so how deep are we talking about here? 1, 2... I can move 6, right?
That is your move, I believe. Your speed.
4, 5.
Yeah, when you get to the edge and you look down over the pit, you see him lying face down and this swarm of black furry creatures over top of him.
Jeez.
Do you have any dispel rats in your cleric arsenal? How does your god feel about rats? Maybe a quick prayer?
Yeah, I'll send her a memo. I'll try to get some info.
This is creepy because it's not like one big target I can hit. These are multiple.
Yeah, rat swarm is a monster, so you can fight it.
Oh, okay, as if it were one creature?
Yes.
All right.
Okay. So it's about 10 feet down?
It's 10 feet down.
Okay. Well, it's a matter of do you want out?
I also need you to make a perception check for me.
Yeah. Do you want out or do you want me to come down?
Why is he rolling a perception check?
Because he may notice something
else.
There's
a reason to be scared.
Yes.
We're looking at an 11.
You are so just focused on the dwarf, you're not really paying attention to anything.
But hopefully you will get it.
So I have a question for you.
Yes.
When you just now suggested him to make a perception check, is that something that if we were better D&Ders, we would know and you're just helping us out? Or
no, not necessarily. There are things that I know about the encounter that you don't, and it's sort of my job to...
But a good D&D player wouldn't have been like, okay, hold on, I want to roll a perception check.
It's possible. If you suspected that there was more to this trap than met the eye, might be inclined to.
So we need to be thinking about things like that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I probably should have made a perception check before I walked into a big open room that was empty.
Would he have caught the trap if he'd done that, possibly?
Possibly, yes.
Possibly.
He would have noticed that there was a piece of canvas, stone-colored, lying down on the floor.
Depends on this.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
So you didn't notice anything untoward. I'm sorry to interrupt your action. What would you like to do?
No, it's no problem. Hey, so there are... It's a swarm of rats.
So, you know some things about swarms. And this is a little insight into some 4th edition mechanics here. Swarms, because of their sort of constituent nature, take half damage from melee and ranged attacks, basically weapon attacks.
But magic attacks.
They are very vulnerable to area and close effect attacks, attacks that basically spread out in an area. Wizards have a lot of area and close effect powers, and clerics probably have a few too, although I don't know what your specific power selection is.
Yeah. Okay, well, yeah, most of it, I'm here to tell you, most of it is not area effect.
No.
Jim would love a shot at these rats.
Well, here, and you're going to get it.
I'm counting on you, Jim.
Momentarily, in fact.
Here. Well, I'm gonna hurl a length of rope down the hole.
Good call.
How do you do that?
He has rope in his inventory.
Basically, he is going.
Oh, we have inventory.
You are going to spend a minor action to.
So here's the things you have. These are weapons.
Okay.
And here, these are awesome things that you have in your bag. So I
throw
that rope down.
You spend a minor action to take the rope out.
Exactly.
And then
your standard action to
lower it down. Done.
Wait, so he didn't have to roll to do that?
No. Some actions are so mundane.
If I had tried to lasso Binwin, maybe we'd be seeing a better roll.
Right.
But that's for him to decide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he just throws the rope down.
Yeah. If you want to hold on to the rope, that's fine.
That's what I mean. I'm waiting for him to get his action. Okay. Maybe I'll be able to get him out.
Jim, you're up.
Jim would like to cast Scorching Burst into the hole.
Okay.
Well, you have to.
So the first thing you want to do is move your dude up to the edge of the pit.
So I move.
You do, and your speed.
Where's six
your
speed? Squares.
There you go.
Now he counts as... I can't...
You can't end your move in the same square as a buddy.
But you can move through them.
Yeah.
But I could go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So now I'm also next to the...
Yeah.
Or
you could even go diagonally if you wanted to.
Oh, you can move diagonally?
Yeah, for free.
Well, it costs you one.
Yeah.
I would like to do a perception check.
Okay. By all means.
What are you looking for?
Trouble.
I'm just... Listen, Jim... Jim wants to make sure everything's kosher. Jim rolls a 15 plus 1. That's 16.
That's awesome.
What does Jim see?
He sees a very unhappy dwarf crawling with rats. You also see that this passageway seems to continue on for about 20 feet. This one for about 20 feet. This one for about 20 feet. You don't see anything down those passageways currently. They're just sort of dark and ominous.
Okay.
You also notice that... it suddenly occurs to you that you guys probably should, once you get the dwarf out of here, light something, like a torch or a lantern, because you had the light of the moon
outside.
Out here, and some of it's actually coming down through the staircase, but once you start going into these areas here, you're going to need another light source.
Okay.
Would you like to make an attack against the swarm?
Yes. Jim Jim would like to cast Scorching Burst. A vertical Excellent. Column of golden flames burns all within.
Splendid. Including the hempen rope that my friend has just...
Jim's not worried about it. Okay.
You can exclude the rope.
You have rope too. So. That's...
Okay. Now, you have some statistics there that will help you determine what you need to do next. Under attack, it tells you what you add to your d20 roll.
Plus 4 versus reflex. What does that mean?
Ah, so you don't worry about that. Excellent question. You don't worry about the reflex.
In D&D, all creatures, including you guys, have 4 defenses. Armor class, which most weapon attacks target your armor class.
Okay.
Your physical armor.
Which is like a cloth.
Yeah, essentially your cloth armor. And then you have 3 other defenses. One is called fortitude defense, which is usually attacked by things like poisons to your system.
Okay.
Reflex defense, which represents your ability to sort of dodge and weave out of the way.
Okay.
And will defense, which are attacks against your mind. This particular attack is against the rat's will defense.
Oh, versus
or, the sorry, rat's form, reflex. Reflex defense.
That's right.
So roll your d20 and add 4, and I will compare...
Oh, fuck yeah!
What the hell?
Nice roll. Super good at D&D.
So this is a special case. This is an opportunity to talk about criticals, I guess.
I rolled a natural 20.
That is an automatic critical hit, which means you do automatically maximum damage.
And the rats can't get away? They don't even have to roll a reflex?
You hit the reflex automatically.
Easy. Yeah.
Oh, because they couldn't beat that.
Yeah. Congratulations. Yeah,
their reflex defense is 14.
Usually they don't tell you.
I told you the dark magics.
I will never doubt. Around. Listen.
You haven't partied. You haven't
my thing said that
before,
I'm dependable,
obviously.
But... This
you,
is
you the, see this sort of scorching blast of fire all around you, and miraculously, not a single flame even touches you.
Oh, man.
So that isn't a concern What's anymore? That? Friends in the area of effect?
They could be, but...
Not with a natural
swarm,
20.
Because the swarm is not entirely just on top of him, but sort of all around him,
yeah.
He can redirect the attack so it doesn't just engulf him.
But do I have to roll for my damage now?
You would normally, but because you rolled a critical hit, it's you full. Just do maximum. So it's as if you had rolled maximum on the dice. So what's your damage, say?
My damage is 1d6 plus 4 fire damage.
So normally you would roll a d6 and you would add 4 to the result. So you would, you know.
But because I rolled a 20 previously,
you roll the maximum. Highest number on
I get
dice.
10. 6 10 plus
points
4.
Of damage, yep. And they take it all. Not only that.
Take it, rats!
But swarms are vulnerable to that type of attack, so they take an extra 5 on top of it. So they take 15.
Specifically,
wow.
Specifically, close and area attacks.
And you roasted them. You saved my bacon.
So congratulations. You caused these rats to scream.